Today is the third Sunday after Easter. We still search for the risen Christ, feeling a mix of loss and confusion, joy and mystery. Why did the empire kill Jesus? Even if we can't see him with our eyes, why is Christ's presence and life story still so real? Can we believe the mystery of resurrection? The lectionary texts of Acts 2, John 10, Psalm 23 and 1 Peter point to Jesus as gatherer, shepherd, and guide. He offers and invites everyone to life abundant. Everyone. In the Gospel of John, Jesus also explains what he is not. That he's not a thief who comes to steal, destroy, and kill. You've probably experienced what is not Jesus before. But instead, in these passages, we learn from and about Jesus that which truly sustains. Hospitality and service, blessing and breaking bread together, prayer, ritual, and storytelling. I'd like to highlight some glimpses of these examples of Jesus' living legacy that shines hope on my path. First, I see hints of the risen Christ and its inspiration through hospitality and service, even now during the season of coronavirus. In small group B, we have a strong tradition of serving each other with strong snacks, which usually includes coffee and cream. That is when we normally get together around a table in someone's home. It often involves pulling out a nice tablecloth and even the china with a homemade dessert. I miss those days. I see this group learning to serve one another, creating space when we open up, where we can open up and share from our lives and brokenness together. And though we can't get together like this right now, the ethic continues in other ways. Like when Becca Schatz made homemade cinnamon rolls and delivered them on Easter morning to everyone in the group. Or when Glenn and Jerry Hostetler surprised Ashley Felberg with flowers on her doorstep on a really hard day. Or when Ashley turned around and got groceries for Ruth Ann and Merritt so they didn't have to get out. Or when Margaret McLaughlin cares for Sandy or Susan's dogs. I also see this kind of service happening in our community. Recently, my neighbors rallied to help a woman next door to me with her taxes, giving her rides when she no longer had a car, and helping her fill out a Help a House application. That's Christ's service. Second, I see hints of the risen Christ and its inspiration even when we break bread with strangers. In the past year, I remember profound meals with guests at Goshen Interfaith Hospitality Network when it was Assemblies Week to volunteer. I cling to those memories of eating food prepared and delivered by Faith Mission, sitting around round tables with families that we barely knew and who were barely getting by. Last time I was there, a woman shared that next week she was celebrating that she'd be getting her own apartment. So we celebrated over Salisbury steak and mac and cheese as kids in the next table hungrily ran back for seconds. Those meals made an impact on us volunteers, I guarantee it, even if we personally didn't know food insecurity like many of the guests did. The meal, the prayer that guests offered, the table set before us, this setting connected us to each other and invited storytelling and compassion. Third, I see hints of the risen Christ and his inspiration through the ritual acts we learn and do ourselves from the stories of Jesus. In particular, I'm thinking of communion and foot washing. And though I have lots of memories of this at Assembly, I was shaped by a small Presbyterian congregation I attended in Vermont. They celebrated communion every Sunday, and it surprisingly didn't get old. We all stood up in a circle in the center of the sanctuary and passed the cup and bread to each other, often as New Orleans jazz music or soul-filled gospel warmly played in the background, our mouths dripping with forgiveness, gladness, and connection. They gave me a communion cup when I left to remember them by. That same congregation also had a Maundy Thursday ritual, a Seder, and it shaped me. The bitter herbs, the sips of wine, the children who asked questions, and the storytelling. And I'll never forget when an older woman bent down to wash a gentleman's prosthetic leg from a wheelchair. Man, there are no words for the healing effects that this man felt and the depth of meaning in that ritual for those two in the moment and for those of us who witnessed it. Right now, I need those stories, those memories. So I wonder, what memories, what stories of ritual acts do you cling to these days? Who has shown you, and where have you found the risen Christ in your midst? What are the stories that and longings that you cling to? I wish we could break bread together, do service side by side, and worship in person. Someday soon, friends. Soon. But nothing can separate us from the love of the risen Christ. And nothing can stop us from praying for one another, offering praise and gratitude for life, and longing for Christ's healing. For now, physical separation underscores our need for storytelling, to remember the connections that have been and will be. Let's remember the ways our faith community has shared love and resources, and that new opportunities are emerging now. May Christ's radical, loving invitation to life abundant give you new stories to create and share.
In Acts 2, 42-47, it talks about the believers breaking bread, being together in the temple courts, and selling belongings to give to those in need. Breaking bread together, acts of service, and gathering together for worship are so ingrained in us in a community of believers. In my experience being part of Mennonite churches, those three things have stood out to me the most, no matter which state or church I was a part of. Humans tend to like routines and patterns of doing things. A lot of us go to our small groups, meet up with our friends for dinner, give or volunteer to organizations we admire, but right now, with a pandemic on our hands, we have to be creative, to stretch, and to expand our definitions. Breaking bread, eating together, it's one of the more concrete ways we have of building community, sharing and serving one another, showing that we care by feeding someone. It's life-giving in more than one sense. How can we carry this into a time of social distancing? I've seen several people put their hearts into baking and leaving food for friends or neighbors on doorsteps, people cooking together via video calls, donating to food pantries, or volunteering to pack or distribute food boxes. I'm constantly astounded by how many people didn't even miss a beat when it came to finding ways to break bread in this new normal we're living in. One of the out-of-the-box examples of breaking bread that's always stood out to me was my mom cooking with me as a child. It may seem like a simple thing, but that just goes to show that none of you knew me as a child. I was a little tornado of a person, constantly on the move, climbing things, running. My mom, who was in grad school while working full-time, would pick me up from aftercare at school, drive me home, and somehow still had the patience to cook with this little tornado that asked a million questions and couldn't stay still. I'm sure dinner took her about four times as long as her just making something herself, but she took the time to build those memories with me and instilled a love of making food in me. Again, it may seem small, but sometimes it's those small and random things that leave the biggest impact. At a time where so much is uncertain for so many, I've seen people stepping up to help one another in ways that, in any way that they can, and I've seen so many random acts of kindness firsthand on social media and through stories. I've seen God in so many places. There's so much light around us right now, and as soon as things began to look bleak, people stepped up and began making masks, calling others to check on them, whatever each person did to shine. And the beautiful thing is that there's not just one way that I've seen people be light. There are hundreds of ways. And although each one may have seemed small, like the stars seem small at night, collectively they light up the sky and make something beautiful. It was hard to think of service, breaking bread, and gathering together as three separate things as they so often run together. But I look forward to continuing to hear the stories of all the small things that light up the dark for our community and help us know we're not alone in all of this. May the small smiles, the distant waves, the phone calls, and the wonderfully awkward video calls where everyone tries to not talk at the same time be our community during this time. Our little food drop-offs or Zoom snacking be our breaking bread, and our diverse gifts and contribution be our service. As Winnie the Pooh said, sometimes the smallest things take up the most room in your heart.